All right, church, today we are in 1 Corinthians 15, once again, finishing up. We're going to finish up the last part of it. My note says this is part number 23 of 1 Corinthians. 23 messages, 23 weeks on 1 Corinthians. It's quite a while when you think about it. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great chapter. It really goes over the gospel well and focuses a lot on the resurrection and the importance of it. In verse 3, Paul wrote, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. A lot of the chapter focuses on the importance of the resurrection. And I used to think that he focused on the resurrection so much because he really was trying to present the case so that the Corinthians would believe and understand that the resurrection did happen. But it doesn't seem to be the case, because in verse 11, Paul writes, "Therefore, whether it was I, the other apostles, or I or they, the other apostles, so we preach, and so you believed." He says, you believed in the gospel that we preached. So they already believed in the resurrection. So instead, it seems that Paul was seeking to help them because they didn't believe properly the implications of their resurrection for themselves. They believed in Jesus' resurrection, but they didn't understand all that it meant for them. So this morning, I urge you, pay attention, because if you really understand and believe this, if you get the implications of the resurrection, it will change your life. It will transform your life. It shows us that Jesus rose from the dead, and because of that, we can have a daily confidence that death is utterly conquered. The message is called When Death Died. So stand with me, church, as we read verses 50 to 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read, follow along if you would. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, help us today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give illumination to your word. Enlighten our hearts, enlighten our spiritual eyes, our understanding. Lord, I believe most in this place understand Jesus died and that he rose again, the resurrection. But I pray that you would help us to greater understand what it means for us, how we can live, how we must live and should live. And of course, if there's anybody here with us in person or this morning online, I pray, Lord, if they don't know you as their Savior, that you would work in that person's heart, that they may have that confidence and the assurance that Death died for them because of Jesus. So move in this place today, we ask in Jesus' name, and we together say, amen. Take a seat, please. Four things this morning. We're going to draw from this passage, these few verses, verses 50 to 58. Four things. The first is one that we know, and we just need to be reminded of it again. First of all, is we live in a weak, frail, perishable body. Amen? Some of our bodies are weaker and more frail. Some of us are young and we think we're strong and it's only going to get better and better and better. But the truth is, all of us live in a weak, frail, sin-tainted human body. And when Paul says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, when he says flesh and blood, he's talking about these physical bodies that we inhabit. That's what he's referring to. We as people consist of at least two parts. There's debate, theological debate over is man two parts or three parts? And theologians have never been able to fully agree on this. Of course, we all understand we live in a physical body. So this is one part, our physicalness, the body we inhabit. If our body dies, you know, we can't remain alive here. But there's another part to man, that is the spirit. That is his spirit. And those who advocate three parts would separate the spirit and the soul. Okay, so body, soul, and spirit. But whether the soul and spirit are two distinct parts or one part, doesn't matter for the sake of argument this morning. Because what we're talking about here is the two main things. Is one is the body that we possess, which is kind of like a case that we live in, and the spirit that God makes alive, renews, restores, and brings into fellowship with him upon salvation. And so when the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation, it's what it's referring to. His spirit is made alive. He is renewed. He is made at peace and at one with God again. That's not referring to our body, is it? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Did you wake up after your salvation experience and realize, oh, I got a glorified body? Of course not. Of course not. I got an illustration I wanted to share with you. I brought this with me. Do you know what this is? This is an instrument, of course. It's not a guitar. It's Jennifer's instrument that she plays with her orchestra. It's called a luto. A luto. It's a special instrument. In fact, I doubt you'll find another one like it in the country. It's custom made. It's a handmade instrument. This case that it's in is also a handmade case. It had to be custom made for the instrument. But you'll see it's a very old case. It's falling apart. It's been around a long time. It's been used a lot. And it's rather ugly if you take a close look at it. The handle broke off a long time ago, so a handkerchief replaced the handle. It has marks all over it, scars from being dropped, being knocked and handled. We have stickers on it from different places, Bologna, Bucharach. Where's Bucharach? I don't know where that is. Firenze. It looks like Italy or something. Anyway, it's been around the world and played in different places. But I want to draw attention just to the fact that this old case is just a case, isn't it? Because what's inside this thing is a beautiful instrument. This is the luto. Woo! Ah. It's handmade. It's a round bowl back. The style of this is called Neapolitan, and it's a traditional style instrument. This has 10 strings, and so the neck is very strong, very thick, so that it doesn't bend and break, and you can make some beautiful music. This is like the cello of mandolin instruments, and so it has that deeper sound to it. It's a beautiful handmade instrument. This one's also pretty old. If I were to have to replace this, It costs a lot of money. We'd have to get it handmade. So we're looking at maybe $15,000 or so. It's an expensive instrument. And so it makes beautiful music. It's a beautiful, valuable instrument in this very ugly old case. So what's the analogy? I hope it's obvious by now. God has made us new creations. We are being conformed more and more into the image of Christ all the time. We're being renewed daily. And we have this special treasure in jars of clay. And the jars of clay is this nasty old case. But the case isn't being renewed day by day. But God is working on what is inside. But one day that case is going to be replaced as well. You see, a long time ago when I was young, I trusted in Jesus Christ, and something happened inside of me. Something happened to my spirit that indwells this body of mine. I was born again. Jesus forgave me of all my sins, and he became my Lord and my Savior. My spirit became a new creation before God, and I began at that time to experience eternal life with Christ. But it still remains in this case. It still remains in this case. And this case has just gotten older with time. It's gotten some problems. It's gotten some marks and scars. And it's not an eternal case. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. He's talking about the case. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What's inside is being renewed. God is doing something. God is working on the inward man. The outward man, the case, is perishing. That's going to have to be replaced. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. So what it seems to come down to is that God has made our spirit alive and fit for heaven now. However, we still have these bodies, and these bodies are not fit for that environment yet. I talked a few weeks ago, if you remember, about how I personally don't care to go live on Mars. I've heard talk about people wanting to be the first to go and try to form some colony on Mars, colonize Mars. I don't know why, just to see if they can. Because Mars is not made for us. It's not made for these bodies. Our bodies are not made for Mars. And we get there, it's going to be hard and dangerous because we're not suitable for that environment. Well, likewise, these bodies are not fit and suitable for eternity or heaven. God knows that. And he wants us to know that too. But rejoice, because our inward man is being renewed all the time. Sometimes these bodies, it's frustrating. I get frustrated by it. It drags us down. We have limitations, we have trials, we have temptations, and we're reminded regularly. Don't stay there, though, and don't get too discouraged. Paul wanted them to know that because of the resurrection, there's another truth that we can hold on to, and that is this. Number two, because of the resurrection, we can know that our bodies will be transformed. Look at verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. By the way, this first verse is a verse that has been on a lot of creches across, you know, churches around the world. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen? Think about it. Never mind. Oh, you guys are terrible. Okay, so Paul spoke here about a mystery. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. And when he says that, I'm sure it got people's attention. Who doesn't like a good mystery? He says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. I want you to note, and we've talked about this before, during this time, there was a movement called Gnosticism. There were Gnostics. What does Gnostic mean? What does Gnostic mean? Anybody? It means knowledge. Gnosis is knowledge. So Gnostics had this knowledge. And Gnosticism also, to some extent, infiltrated even the thinking in the church, which was a shame. And so Paul often dealt with this movement of Gnosticism within the church. That is, that there was the certain people that possessed a certain truth that was hidden to others. They didn't understand. They weren't on the inside. And only some on the inside had this hidden truth that was revealed to them. They were Gnostics. They were looking for hidden meanings, things that others missed, things that God hadn't revealed through his prophets or through the word. And so Paul likely was capitalizing on this issue, this problem that the church had, when he said, I'm telling you a mystery. He was basically saying, you guys like mysteries, right? Well, this is a mystery, and I'm going to tell you one here. And here it is. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. The mystery was, it was a mystery because it wasn't revealed in the Old Testament scriptures. It wasn't revealed up until now in the New Testament through the apostles, through those who had been taught by Jesus, walked with Jesus. He says, here it is. There is a generation of Christians who shall not see death as most do. And they shall be changed instantly. That outward case that they possess is going to be changed and transformed into a new case that is suitable for the environment of heaven, suitable for eternity. And it's going to be done not in a process, but in a rather short time. Paul said, in a twinkling of an eye, it's just an expression to mean it's going to be instantaneous. There's not going to be a waiting for it. That's going to be the time when the completion of the resurrected, our resurrected bodies will be done. There's going to be this time. We will be changed from a weak, perishable, frail bodies that became normal after Adam sinned. That became the norm. Weak, perishable, fragile bodies. And it's going to be changed from that into a body like Jesus had after the resurrection. Jesus showed us a glimpse of what the resurrected, glorified kind of bodies would be like. And we were in Adam with the frail human bodies. And now, though, we are in Christ with the resurrection, eternal life. And we saw a bit of a glimpse of what those resurrection glorified bodies will be like when we receive them at this time, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Notice he says this corruptible must put on incorruption. Why must? Two things. First, we must because of the environment of heaven. It's like the environment under the sea. Jen and I and Harry and Gretchen, we're scheduled to go for a scuba dive next Saturday, by the way. So if I don't see you on Sunday, you'll know why. But we're scheduled to go scuba diving on Saturday. We like to go at least once a year. And so we're going. But to live in that environment, you need some assistance. So we put on our equipment, our gear, we get our oxygen and everything else. We jump in and down we go. But we need all that because of the environment. Again, to get to heaven, we need a different kind of body completely. And so we must put on incorruption. This is not going to work. And you wouldn't want it for eternity, would you? Would you want the body you have now for all eternity? It wouldn't work. If you can picture what your body would be like in a few more hundred years, you'd be saying, this is terrible. It's not made for that. But also, must put on incorruption, because at the resurrection, we see Jesus received a glorified body. And he showed us what we can expect. We are now in Christ. And just as in Adam, we inherited the corrupt, frail bodies, Jesus showed us what we inherit in Christ. And so we must put on that same glorified type of body that Jesus' resurrection had. And we looked at this also a couple weeks ago. He had a real physical body. It could eat. It could talk. People touched him. But yet it was also special. It was unique. And it is eternal. And this is the body that we will and must inherit. Next, thirdly, we see death will be completely swallowed up in victory. Verse 54, so when the corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul quotes here two places. He quotes from Isaiah 25:8 first, and then Hosea 13:14 in those two capitalized areas. Death being swallowed up by victory gives us a picture, though. When something is swallowed up by something else, the something that has been swallowed up isn't seen anymore. It's gone. The only thing that you can see is that which swallowed it up. I mean, as I think of that, I think of a big snake. You know, have you seen those snakes that swallow up something whole? Not a nice image, but the thing that it swallowed is gone. Okay, all that remains is what swallowed it. And so this is the imagery here that Paul is giving, that death is swallowed up in victory. When we are with Christ, when we receive those glorified bodies, death is never to be seen again. And the only thing that is visible is the victory of Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. He goes on to explain two more important things. The sting of death is sin. Sting. The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is? Okay, good. Now think of a sting. Sting is painful. Have you ever been stung? What have you been stung by? Okay, most people think of a bee sting. And yes, bee stings are bad. They're painful. No one likes them. You ever been stung by a wasp? Yeah, they're more painful, aren't they? Okay. You ever been stung by a scorpion? No? Okay. Have you seen scorpions? Of course. They're ugly, aren't they? And in the back, they have a tail, and that tail has a stinger. And it's bad, and it hurts. And some are so dangerous that they can kill. They can kill a person. And so that's the description here. The sting of death is sin. This means that, you know, sin is what gives it that destructive power. The sting of death is sin. Death would never have been a thing if it wasn't for sin. Sin is the sting of it. We wouldn't have death in this world without sin. God made everything, and he made it good and perfect, and Adam and Eve were meant to live forever, and their offspring, and in the garden with the tree of life. But sin came, and because of sin, we have death. The sting of death is sin, and what a painful sting it is. But then he says, the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. The reason death is so destructive is because the strength of sin is the law. It's because the fact that sin causes us to go against God's just and righteous law. That's the strength of it. That's why it's so deadly. Because it causes us to go against God's law. What law did Adam and Eve have? Did they have the Bible and Moses and the Ten Commandments? No. But they had a law. That's why God told them, you can eat of every tree, but you shall not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the law. That was their law. One law. One thing. And then later, we see Cain and Abel. Soon. And they were offsprings of Adam and Eve, as we all are, but they were close after. But they were accountable for the knowledge of God's law that they had. What was that knowledge? At least the knowledge that they had up to that point. What happened to Adam and Eve? What God had said to them? And they brought their sacrifices. And God accepted Abel, but not Cain. And Cain got angry. But God said to Cain, why are you angry? If you did what is right, would you not have been accepted? God didn't hold him accountable for something he had no knowledge of. He had knowledge of God's law. But the strength of sin is law. And sin caused Cain to go against God's righteous and just law. And later they did have the law of Moses. And we see the results of that. The law of Moses. And today we also stand in threat of judgment due to law. Those who are not in Christ are under God's condemnation. And they will stand before God as judge and be judged according to their deeds. Because the strength of sin is the law. That's the problem. Sin is so deadly because it causes us to go against the righteous law of God. Hebrews sums it up nicely in Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, judgment. That's it. That's our lot. We will die once, and after this, the judgment. Judgment of who? God. Because the sting or the strength of sin is the law. And we stand before God and give account to him. Those who are not in Christ. Those who are in Christ are not under condemnation. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But in spite of the destructive power of sin, the sting of sin, and in spite of the strength of sin being the law against God, we have sinned. God is gracious. Because in verse 57, Paul wrote, but thanks be to God. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, sin is bad. Paul reminding us how bad it is. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin being the law because it's against God. We need to be reminded of that once in a while, but we also can say, thanks be to God. He gave us victory over sin. Thanks to Jesus, death is no longer a threat to us. It can no longer hurt us. We have victory over death. And fourthly, therefore we should rejoice and never give up. Look at verse 58. Therefore, by the way, what do we ask when we see this word? Somebody? We see the first word, therefore? Oh, yes. Always ask, if you see this in the Bible, what is it there for? Therefore. Because Paul has been making an argument, making a case, and then he says, therefore. Because of all these things, therefore. Okay? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the end of our story here is victory, not defeat through death, victory through Christ. But because we take this knowledge of what the resurrection has done for us, we can be, he mentions these three things, steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Steadfast. Paul desired them to be faithful to the Lord and his teaching. Keep going. Don't be tossed about by everything that comes your way. He wrote in Ephesians, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And doctrine can be many things. It just means teaching of some kind. We shouldn't be children tossed about to and fro all the time. MacArthur, he states that spiritual immature believers who are not grounded in the knowledge of Christ through God's word are inclined to accept uncritically any sort of beguiling doctrinal error and fallacious interpretation of Scripture promulgated by deceitful, false teachers of the church. They must learn discernment. Christian, we must learn discernment. Discern what is right. And we do that through keeping a focus on what God has given to us. Focus on the Word of God. Know it. Learn it. Dig into it. Keep your eyes on it. Stop being tossed around. But then second, it's immovable. Now it sounds similar to steadfast, but they're different words. Steadfast, immovable. Paul was concerned about the Corinthians' tendency to compromise their behavior or even their beliefs for the sake of the culture around them. He says, be immovable. Steadfast, immovable. I grew up singing the song or hearing the song, I shall not be moved. And some people took it as never doing anything for the Lord. I'm not going to be moved. You know what I'm talking about. Because you're probably guilty of that. The pastor's asking for volunteers to help with children's ministry and you guys singing, I shall not be moved. Shame on you. Now, what this talking about is this verse, be immovable. Immovable. Not be moved from the truth of the word and to live like the world, but being immovable in it. Always abounding. God has given us all ways in which he wants us to serve him and others in the body of Christ. He wants us to be servants, to give service with the gifts that he's given to us to use in that regard. And they should be doing this with enthusiasm. That is what it means to be abounding. Because the word abound means to exceed or excel above and beyond. In light of the resurrection, and because we have victory over our greatest enemy, which is death, we must and should be serving and excelling and abounding in this service to the Lord and to our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body of Christ. That's what we should be doing. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just hanging on. He didn't write, he didn't write this passage and say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, just trying to hang on until the end. Now, he said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Always abounding in the Lord. Because of the resurrection, we have victory over death. And all that, the resurrection is why he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, do these things. This is the results of what should be the results of the resurrection in our life. That we are steadfast. We're not tossed around by everything. Our focus is on the Lord, on his word. We're not movable. We are immovable. And culture comes and goes, but we We are walking with the Lord. And we're always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're always serving Him. We're always looking to please Him and use our gifts for Him. So yes, we're reminded this week that we do live in a weak, frail, sin-tainted body. And it's not suitable for eternity. It's not suitable for heaven. We understand that. But Paul wants us also to be reminded that because of Christ's resurrection, we too will have glorified bodies like Jesus Christ had at the resurrection. He also wants to remind us that death is swallowed up in victory. We don't live in fear of death anymore. Death is not our, it doesn't have any power over us. It is not our, it is our enemy. But we have victory over death. It's been defeated. It is swallowed up in victory. And then in conclusion, because of these things, we should rejoice, never give up. Be steadfast in the word, be immovable by the world, and always abound in God's work. Stand with me, please. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. And as I say this, I want you to know the invitation is there. If you want to talk or pray with somebody, or if you want to trust Jesus Christ yourself as your Savior, maybe you've not done that. You must. That is the first thing. You must come in faith. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that work of that God does inside of you, where you become a new creation, the inside, your spirit, that takes place. And the continued work of transformation begins to take place, even though the outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. So if you need to trust Jesus Christ, I urge you to come. Let myself, let Pastor Mike, let Josh, or other of our leaders within our church, let them know. And we'll be glad to walk you through this. But Christian, I want you in your heart this morning to pray this prayer with me. Lord God, I thank you that for this reminder that I do live in a frail, sin-tainted body. Lord, this body is not going to keep getting better and better all the time. And I'm reminded that it doesn't last. It's like this old case that we are placed inside for now. But Lord, I also thank you that we shall receive new cases. Beautiful, permanent cases suitable for life in heaven for eternity. Thank you that death has been swallowed up in victory. We don't live in fear of it. And thank you that we can rejoice, never give up. We can be steadfast in the word of God. We can be immovable by the world around us. And we are always abounding, excelling, and exceeding in the work of the Lord. Help me to use my gifts to serve you, to serve the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take a seat, please? We have a few announcements and we'll be dismissed.
Just a few things we'd like to share with you. If you have your bulletins on the inside pages, just take a look with me. On the COVID level updates, we anticipate that we may be moving into level one this week, but we'll wait for the announcement. But just remember, if we're in level number one, then we'll have one service next week. It's 10 o'clock, and then we'll also have Sunday school at 9 o'clock. Should the announcement be that we're in level two, then just like today, two worship services, 8:30 in the morning, We have a quick break in between, and then we'll have a 10 o'clock worship service. Should it be level 3 or 4? Not likely, but should it change to level 3 or 4, everything will be on video format, either through Facebook Live or through Zoom. So that's what we're anticipating this coming week, level 1. So we hope to see you all Sunday morning at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock for the Bible study. Life groups, if you're a part of a life group, we'd like for you to be a part of a life group. If you're not, then check out on the back pages of the bulletin and see who all the life group leaders are, and you can join one of the life groups this week. And then also our new members class, we hope to get this started coming up on the next Sunday. That's on the 28th of February, and that'll be at 9 o'clock during the Sunday school hour. Pastor Ken's going to be leading that class, so if you're a candidate for the new members class, then just see Pastor Ken. I think that's all of the announcements other than continue to pray for our missionaries. We're praying especially this week for Pastor Irwin and his wife Amy and IBC Central. Pray for them as well as our other missionaries. We've posted the new letters that's come in on the bulletin board in the back.